You may have heard that most people who are black have O blood type. O is commonly needed for emergencies, but did you know 1 in 3 of us is a match for patients with sickle cell disease? Regardless of blood type, every day our blood saves lives and eases the pain of those living with sickle cell. Donate blood at Red Cross to help us save a life. Black excellence is in our blood. Visit redcrossblood.org/ourblood to make an appointment now.
You know that I feel like it's important to express yourself. You got to put your true self out there. And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do that.
That's right. Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know it doesn't get any more comfortable than the Croc clogs and sandals. They are just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit Crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
Okay, real talk. When did paying someone back become social media?
What do you mean?
Like, say I want to see what you're doing and who you're hanging with, and you're not posting about it on your story. I can just stalk your pay app and find out what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, that's weird. You do that?
No, I don't do that. I use Apple Cash. It's built into your iPhone, easy and secure. You can send and receive money right in messages and keep it between friends, and then use that money to buy something at a store with Apple Pay.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Maybe.
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
There's power in every purchase, because every time we buy a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. And y'all know I love my lip bar products. That's just one, to name a few.
There is a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. Show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long.
That's right, y'all. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
That's right. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
Preparing for childbirth is like preparing for a football game.
How, Sway?
I got a catch.
Well, let's just say I ain't a water sign, but I'm going to be in some water.
Not me. Dead ass.
Yes, you are this time, DeVal.
I said dead ass already. Y'all can roll that out. Dead ass.
Hey, I'm Kadeen.
And I'm DeVal.
And we're the Ellises.
You may know us from posting funny videos with our boys.
And reading each other publicly as a form of therapy.
Wait, I make you need therapy?
Most days.
Wow.
Oh, and one more important thing to mention, we're married.
Yes, sir, we mm-hmm. are. We created this podcast to open dialogue about some of life's most taboo topics.
Things most folks don't want to talk about.
Through the lens of a millennial married couple. Deadass is a term that we say every day. So when we say deadass, we're actually saying facts. 100. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We about to take pillow talk to a whole new level.
Deadass starts right now.
All right, so we got story time.
Story time.
Kadeen is going to bless y'all with the story today.
All right, story. I mean, I guess it's fitting because, you know, here I am about to have a whole nother baby. I can't believe I'm doing this a fourth time, y'all. Like, this is still blowing my mind. Mm-hmm. So when I found out I was pregnant the fourth time around, we're in a new state, new location, and I'm naturally kind of anxious at this point because I'm like, oh my God, I always said if I were to have another baby, it would have to be the same exact way I had Kaz. Like, of all three experiences, which you guys have heard about, that was my most favorite experience when it came to labor and delivery. And I'm missing my midwife. So I'm like, what am I going to do? So I thought about finding someone here in the Atlanta area that I can see. But I have such a connection to my former midwife, Takiya Ballard, that I was like, I have to find a way to make this happen with Takiya. Like, I'm going to call her and be like, girl, I got to pull you out of retirement. I respect the fact that you're retired. However, what will it take to pull you out of retirement for this last and final Ellis baby? So in the meantime, while I was trying to decide what to do, I said, you know what? I'm just going to go to a local OBGYN office, so that way I can just at least start the process, make sure the baby is doing well, do all my labs, blood work, all that good stuff, right? And worst case scenario, if push came to shove and I had to have a baby, you know, with this OBGYN or in a hospital, at least I know I'd be under great care.
Right.
So as time progressed, of course, I reached out to Takiya like I said I would. And she so humbly obliged my request to be taken out of retirement just for me. Don't go hitting her up, y'all. Don't go flooding her email and DMs like y'all been doing. Okay, she's just doing this for
now
me.
You stingy, about your midwife,
I'm just trying
yo.
To respect the fact that she said she will do this for me, you know?
People have babies every day,
So, in speaking to her, and it also kind of the stars aligned for us because she's now living super close to us. So what are the chances that we're both living like almost in the same area now? Mm-hmm. It just kind of like the stars aligned. It was meant to be for me. So I still was seeing my doctor simultaneously at the office visits and stuff because, you know, also too, I'm aware of the fact that I'm of age where I need to be, you know, getting a couple more tests done, a couple more sonograms,
right,
just to make sure that things were good with the baby. I had an issue that happened with my blood and clotting and stuff. So there were a couple different things that I wanted to monitor closely during mm-hmm. this time. Mm-hmm. So now here I am, roughly 30 weeks, you know, now's a good time to make the transition over to another doctor or midwife if I so choose to. So I said, you know what, I'm going to have the discussion with my OB out here and let her know that I am about to switch gears. Now she knows my history. I told her, I was like, you know, I had my last baby at home, and she was like, oh, wow. She's like, in our initial visit, she said, well, you know, we don't do that here. I said, you're not going to come to my house, sis, and deliver this baby? And she's like, absolutely not, but I'll see you in the hospital. I knew what it was with her in the beginning, but I wanted to at least let her know, you know, out of respect, like, hey, sis, it's been a great road so far, but I'm actually going to switch gears now and head over to this midwife and have my baby at home. She looked at me like I had five heads, y'all. She literally looked at me and was just like, you're going to do what? And I said, yeah, I'm going to switch over to midwife care. I actually don't mind seeing you two concurrently until I have the baby, and then I'll be back after I have the baby at home. And she said, well, I strictly and strongly advise against that. Mm. And I said, okay. I'm like, is there anything in this pregnancy that makes you feel like I shouldn't do this? Is there something that is pre-existing, something that came up that made you feel like, you know what, you need to be in a medical situation where you feel like if anything were to go wrong in that moment that you needed to be, there has to be interventions? And she's like, well, your age, you're older. And I was like, well, damn.
Damn.
You think I'm walking around here decrepit, you know? She's like, you know, no matter how pristine a pregnancy has been or is, you have to always make plans for what could happen, which I respect.
Absolutely.
And I completely understand.
Absolutely.
And also, too, she can't be liable if I decide to have this baby at home and, God forbid, have to come to the hospital and then I'm calling her name.
Absolutely.
And she's going to be like, well, sis, you told me you were parting ways, you know? So I completely understood and respected where she came from. And I couldn't expect the same opinion or the same advice from her as I did my OBGYN back in New York, because I don't have as long of a relationship with her. You know, she doesn't know as much about my history. She don't know that I'm a G in this baby having game. So, you know, I kind of
Thug life, thug mom,
you know, and at that point, at that moment in time, I felt like I wasn't going to allow fear to overcome me or the situation or just this whole experience so far, because I'd been so positive the entire time. And not to say she was trying to be negative, but you know, it just kind of put a little damper on our relationship in that moment. But I went and saw her again 2 weeks later, and she's like, how's it going? You're good? I'm like, I'm good. I'm like, still seeing you and still gonna have this baby at home. Love you, sis, but that's the deal.
Let's go and end story time there. We're gonna go back on story time, because that was a great story. I do want to unpack a lot of that stuff, but you know, we got to take a break first.
Yes, let's do that.
So let's take a break real quick. We'll be back and we'll be able to unpack story time.
All right.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, y'all, losing two loved ones in a matter of 6 months, it can be a lot. And a lot of times when you're dealing with grief, you have a lot to get off your chest with your family.
That's absolutely right. You know, people carry around all different types of stresses, big and small. When you keep them bottled up, it can start to affect you negatively.
And therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to kind of figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down.
If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/deadass today to get 10% off your first visit. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/deadass.
During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs classic clogs and sandals have both covered.
When I'm talking about style, I mean personal style. There are just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms that you can add to the Crocs to make them unique. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood, to match your personality, to fit the occasion, and you can change them up day to day.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can because it's your personal style. And now, let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than Crocs, clogs, and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here, they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushion.
That's right. So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs classic clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you.
You may be aware that most people who are Black have O blood type. O is commonly needed for emergencies and life-saving measures. But did you know 1 in 3 of us is a match for patients with sickle cell disease? You, along with the American Red Cross, regardless of your blood type, can help by donating blood. Every day, our blood saves lives and eases the pain for those living with sickle cell. When you donate blood, there is a direct positive impact within our community. Right now, there is great need for blood donations in the African American community. Every donation counts and makes a difference in someone's life. Donate blood at Red Cross to help save a life. Black excellence is in our blood. Visit redcrossblood.org/ourblood to make an appointment now.
Hey, what's good, y'all? I think it's important for you to understand why Black representation in media is important. It's important because the media represents how people view us. And it's important that they understand that Black people are not a monolithic people.
That is a fact. And the next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truth.
Black Stories, Black Truth is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story.
In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience.
Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts. Hey. I want to be chilly. Don't go chasing waterfalls. Please stick to the rivers and the lakes that you used to. Listen, I'm going to be all in the water. All in the water. I will be in the water once more, guys, for our fourth and final baby, our last king.
Yes.
It was such an amazing experience having a water birth last time that I'm.
It was amazing in there, right?
It was great.
It was good by yourself?
No.
Because you're going to be in there by yourself again.
That was the debate last time, y'all. If y'all don't know, the big debate was DeVal was like, I'm not getting in the placenta water.
I'm not getting in that placenta water, son. I was like,
since when has it been dubbed placenta water?
Because it's the placenta water. It be cloudy in there. Stuff be happening. I ain't trying to be in there, son.
It be cloudy and floating and stuff be floating. Nah, well, last time, my mom, bless her heart, made it such a beautiful, like, feng shui ambiance experience where she had rose petals and stuff. So that kind of camouflaged if there was anything chunky floating around in the water.
Oh, my stomach. I'm not getting in the placenta water, bro. I'm not. I don't care what you say.
Whatever.
Y'all can shame me all you want.
We
I'm
got
not getting
the pool
the
on order. Mind. We got the pool on order. It should be here any day now so we could do a little test run, you know. And I would really, really appreciate it, DeVal, if you got in the pool with me this time and delivered our son.
Bad man no swim in placenta water. All right, let's unpack this story. First of all, I think sometimes in life, we as people tend to take things personally, right? And we have to learn to stop taking everything personally.
That's a fact, right? Especially nowadays.
And I'm going to use this story as an example, right? Your doctor, I understand her reservations about
it.
You went to medical school.
Valid.
You know, midwifery in the medical profession, they don't go, they're like oil and water, they don't mix. So if she went to school being taught one way,
right,
and knows that that's the safest way for things to be done for her, I understand her believing in her science, mm-hmm. and you're her patient, mm-hmm. saying to you,
and her being liable,
yes, her saying to you the things she said to you.
Absolutely.
But that doesn't take away your right to choose what you want to do with mm-hmm. your body and your life.
Absolutely.
And the reason why I say that is because you do have women who listen to their OBGYNs the entire way mm-hmm. and still don't make it out of the hospital. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't mean that one way is scientifically 100% better than the other. It always depends on what's better for your lifestyle mm-hmm. and what your religious beliefs or the things that you feel are in the best interest of you and your family. Mm-hmm. So rather than people taking it as, oh, that doctor's wrong and this and this and that. No, that mm-hmm. doctor's doing everything
absolutely
in order with what she feels is right in her practice and for you as her patient. Mm-hmm. So I applaud her for that.
No, absolutely.
I don't have to agree with what she's saying. And I don't. To. You know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. I know you don't.
Yeah.
Because we rock with Takiya. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I just wanted to put that out there and unpack that a little bit because sometimes people tend to take things personally.
Yeah.
Oh, she hating on my midwife. She hating on home birth.
And I don't think it was that case with her either.
Right,
she was super sweet about it, but she was just like, girl, I think she also wanted me to understand like the seriousness in it.
Right.
And just saying, you know, as your primary doctor that I've been seeing you this entire pregnancy, I just don't think that this would be the best route for you to go.
Right.
You know, and I could have been in my feelings. Right. Yeah, and I could have been in my feelings and be like, oh, what she don't, a bitch ain't that old. I ain't that old, sis. Like, damn, you know? But it's just one of those things, like you just know once you're past a certain age, there's certain things that you're going to mm-hmm. be kind of predisposed to naturally. Mm-hmm. So
and what
I respect it.
What I will equate it to being an athlete, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I was playing football, I had 5 knee surgeries, right?
Okay.
Typically, if you're a normal person, not an athlete, right, and you tear a meniscus,
mm-hmm.
right, they'll take you to the hospital. You'll go see a doctor. The doctor may say you should have a meniscectomy where they cut the meniscus out, or you can do a meniscus repair
mm-hmm.
where they put sutures in and you're out for 6 months. Either way, they give you medication, tell you stay off your knee till the swelling goes down, you know, blah, blah, blah. When you're an athlete, you go to see a sports doctor,
mm-hmm.
right? He's just like, we can do a meniscectomy. You'll be playing in 3 days, right? So you see the difference?
Yeah.
One doctor
Yep.
will protect themselves,
mm-hmm.
make sure that you're safe and everything, but they're not preparing you for performance.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
That's how I view sometimes midwifery versus going to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
The hospital is going to make things as safe as possible for you to make sure everybody's good. You have everything here just in case something goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like a midwife prepares you for performance.
Mm.
This is what we're going to do to make sure everything is good.
Go smoothly. Right.
We're going to help you through this process so that you can be good through the birthing process, not just prepare for the worst.
Mm.
You know, and that's just my analogy for going to
the
hospital.
That's actually a really good analogy when I
you
think
see
about
what I'm
it.
Saying?
Yes, because you think about the things that could have gone wrong, for example, with Kaz. His position, right?
Right.
That's something that Takiya knew early on. Well, not early, but towards the end of the pregnancy,
yeah.
She knew, okay, his spine is against your spine. I never remember if it's anterior or posterior.
Right.
But he needs to have his spine outside.
Mm-hmm.
So we need him to flip.
Because that could give you bad back labor.
Yes, exactly. So that's when she started to give us the inversion tips.
Inversions.
And Val would have me upside down and all that. People mm-hmm. thought we were just doing the most and it was shenanigans. No, that was... There was a reason why.
Right.
And Kaz, so said, so done, flipped right into the perfect position mm-hmm. to make it easy for
to
him to
out.
Make his exit. So
that's
yeah,
what I mean by
really
preparing
good,
for performance.
Right.
As opposed to preparing for the worst.
I think well, also with the preparation process, we should talk about a birth plan. Like what is
yes.
a birth plan? You hear a lot
yes.
about birth plans and it is just like what it sounds like. It's pretty much a written plan that communicates your wishes and your goals before, during, and after labor and delivery. In it, parents-to-be can offer up their best-case scenario birthing, or their best-case birthing scenarios, rather, how they'd ideally like the labor and delivery to play out if all goes according to plan, right?
Right.
So that's, like you said, on the latter half, preparing for what can be the mm-hmm. performance versus the worst-case scenario. So the different stages of labor, of course,
well, before you do that, mm-hmm. I have a birthing plan.
Mm-hmm.
I've always had a birthing plan.
Right.
So the first part of our birthing plan is to make sure we know where the nearest hospital is. That
yes.
that was since we knew we were birthing at home
yes.
and even when we were birthing with Cairo at the hospital,
mm-hmm.
it was how fast can I get from point A to point B? And I'm not just talking about going in Waze
mm-hmm.
and saying, here's Waze says I'll get there in 7 minutes. Click, your water breaks, how long does it take us to get from upstairs in the apartment to downstairs mm-hmm. to get in the car, then from the car, hit the ways, and then once we get there. And I've driven that path mm-hmm. with you so many times. And what yep. I did for our birthing plan is from the time we're upstairs, I would start my watch or I would start my phone and get us downstairs to parking. And I would record how long it took us to drive to Methodist where we had yeah. Cairo.
It was almost like a dress rehearsal each yes. time. You know what I mean? Just we to did see a dress rehearsal. It's funny. There's a show. Was it the Cosby Show that they had an episode where one of the characters was planning for it? I think it was Jack Ripper. Not Jack Ripper. That was his name on another show. Anyway, they were doing pretty much like a rundown of what it would be. Oh,
talking about the guy from Three's Company. Yes, was that episode. He was the dad.
He was the dad. And it was just like, it was kind of like that.
But it is important because every minute counts when you're having a baby. And absolutely. If you say, Waze says it's only going to take us 7 minutes, but mm-hmm. it took you 9 minutes to get in the car. Now mm-hmm. you're looking at 16 minutes.
Absolutely.
See what I'm saying? So part of the birthing plan is knowing where the closest hospital is and how long it'll take you from the moment you realize the water breaks to getting everything together. And if you have kids, we did a video about this, remember? Mm-hmm. About getting all the kids ready and getting them out the door mm-hmm. in time. So yep.
that's part of the birthing plan. Just making sure that you have, at that moment, people at the house to yes. man the kids that are there. Mm-hmm. If you have to call an ambulance, if it's that you think that situation yep. will be faster. There's so many things that you have to take into account for yes. that. And then keeping in mind just like the different stages of labor. So like I was saying before, early and active labor, which is pretty much when the cervix starts to dilate in your face. So it thins yep. out, it opens up. And you may feel mild, irregular contractions that slowly start to escalate. And this, it's hard to tell when early labor how long it's going to last. It's one of those things where you hear women, I've been in labor with you for 36 hours.
Yeah.
And then you have some people that are just like, I just felt like I had to take a shit and baby came out. Boop. Yep. That was it. You know, so there's so many different, like sometimes it's hard, especially with your first baby, to kind of know what to expect.
Right.
I'm hoping with our fourth time around that it'll be shorter and that I can kind of feel it coming on because I'm hoping. Already starting to feel.
I can guarantee you it's going to be shorter. Every pregnancy yeah. has gotten shorter, that's shorter, true. Shorter.
And I'm already starting to feel like, even just this morning I was telling the crew, I was like, guys, I'm starting to feel like, first of all, like he wants to bust out of there. And then I'm starting to feel like I'm not sure what body part it is. But I almost feel like he wants to at some point stick his hand out and be like, hey, y'all.
What was that last night?
Just letting you know. That
What was it? What's the term?
The Braxton night? Hicks.
Not the Braxton Hicks. I call them the Tony Braxtons. But remember the contractions? It wasn't contraction, but that feeling, they said it felt like you were having thunder crotch.
Oh, yes. I actually texted my midwife and she said it's called lightning crotch.
Lightning crotch.
There so that's what I was experiencing last night, y'all. And she said it's very normal for this phase of pregnancy. I'm 33 weeks now. So she said, yeah, lightning crotch. It's pretty much like a sharp shooting pain, almost mm-hmm. like electric feel that you have coming from mm-hmm. like through your vagina. Like that's mm-hmm. exactly what I was experiencing. So between that and the Braxton Hicks and him moving as if he's about to bust out, I was telling the crew like, y'all.
And it's important to know these things happen.
Now's not the time, but
because you ever hear those stories where every time there's a pain, they run to the hospital and like it's a false alarm, mm-hmm. no baby coming. When you that understand what's happening. Night. You know, with your body, you don't make all these false alarm runs. And then what happens is it almost becomes the boy who cries wolf. So you do 3 or 4 false alarms. Then one night you're sleeping and your wife is like, baby, I think I need to go to the hospital. And you're just like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever. You're going to the hospital. Then you wake up and then there's water all over the place because the water legitimately broke and now you're not prepared.
Exactly.
So it's important to understand what the body is going through. And like I said, once again, listen to your partner. But also have someone who knows the process to ask questions. Mm-hmm. She'll text Takiya all times of the night to ask her, what is this that I'm going through?
And I'm still asking the fourth time around. Like, yes. I'm still asking. I'm like, is this something I should know?
But it's okay to ask.
Every pregnancy is different. Every labor is different. Delivery is different. So there may be something new every time around. So me, considering myself pretty seasoned in this whole like childbirthing thing and pregnancy, I still have questions to this day.
And when you get lightning crotch, the best things to do is take a warm bath. Mm-hmm. Do a lot of side laying mm-hmm. or do some inversions because mm-hmm. that'll help get the baby out of position where the baby's down there in your crotch. So all of those things you can do to help the mom relax and feel a little bit more comfortable. So
yeah, it's good to know. Babe, that was good. It's funny too because
doula dad baby.
Before I even hit Takiya up, I was like, babe, I'm feeling this stuff, and he's like, let's do inversion. I told you. Like,
I be knowing.
DeVal posted a video on Instagram, y'all. I don't know if y'all seen it yet, but with him doing inversions with me, and I just said, just don't do this if you have a weak ass husband. Okay, make sure he been doing his lifting and whatnot.
I don't skip leg day, baby.
Don't skip leg day.
Squats, lunges, deadlifts.
You gotta
deadlifts.
Hold up
gotta
all 100 and something pounds of me. All right.
You only about 120.
You're too kind. Look at you. I haven't seen that since I met you.
Brownie points. Brownie points.
So in that early active labor, it's just about kind of moving because you kind of want the labor to come on. You want it to progress. So sitting still is not the best thing to do in that circumstance. You kind of want to start moving, go for a walk, squat, sit in that squatting position, just allowing gravity to do what it's supposed to do.
So this is what
enter active labor.
Not only have I read and watched in documentaries, but I've noticed even with my wife. When she had to get induced and they gave her the epidural and she sat there on the bed, it seemed like labor slowed down and time slowed down. So she just got antsy. She got fidgety. It was just like the worst experience because they sit you in one spot and you really can't do anything. As opposed to Kairos, once her water broke and she was moving around to get Jackson, gravity was starting to work in her favor because she was sitting up, but Kairos started to move down. Then she started to walk around, which allows your hips to spread a little bit. And this is what people don't know. I know this from exercise physiology. When you start throughout the day, when you first wake up, your body may be in alignment from when you're sleeping. But as you start to stand and gravity starts to work, your hips start to get adjusted and your spine and everything falls into your pelvis. And if you're pregnant, your pelvis and all of your joints are more lubricated because they're going to start spreading as the baby comes. So when you get into active labor, the more you move and the more you use gravity, the better it is for the baby to get into that birthing path to go and do what the baby wants to do, which is get out. As opposed to laying down and gravity not working because you're laying down and you're sitting there, and then the baby's kind of sitting where it can be sitting on your spine, it can sit on your pelvis, it can sit a bunch of different places. When you're constantly moving your body and walking and letting gravity work, things happen a lot faster. That's why we went shopping. And also, it keeps the mom's mind off of the pain. She's not thinking about the pain if she's thinking about how much I can get these peaches for.
Right.
And that's.
I remember being in the bread aisle and I was like, oh, they got bagels, buy one, get one free. And then I remember feeling like a little bit more water because my water didn't break all at once. With Cairo, it kind of broke a little bit, that it kept broke a little more. And I remember thinking like, oh man, I'm going to need some paper towel in an aisle. Like, clean up in aisle three where the bread's at. Where my water is actively breaking. How about that?
Keeping her engaged and her mind engaged kept her mind off of the pain.
Yeah.
You know, when things start to become more enhanced when you're just sitting there waiting. So if there's a lot more distractions, whether it's family, friends, or you're just constantly moving, it's the best way to get through that labor.
Whew. Start to get a little nervous.
Just you thinking about it?
Just thinking about it because I saw the next one, active labor. So that's when you're 6 to 10 centimeters. That's like the very end of
it. The very end.
And it's almost a thing where at the end, like Takiya is, this is where a midwife comes in handy, right?
Mm-hmm.
She taught me how to channel and think about pain, right?
Mm-hmm.
And from a mental standpoint. So she said, think of pain as something that you embrace, right? You want to embrace the pain because as you embrace this pain, all it means is that you're that much closer to seeing your baby's face. So this excitement. Yeah, so that excitement that you have to see this baby finally and hold this baby, the more the pain comes, it's like, I'm that much closer. It's almost done. So that pain at the finish line is what I literally was thinking about when it came to Kaz. And I remember like tuning everything else out, listening to her voice and just thinking, he's almost here. He's almost here. Because, you know, the minute he comes out.
It's over.
It's over.
But that shows your mental fortitude and your toughness, right? You keep saying you're a G and people don't understand why she keeps saying I'm a G in this. It's because it takes a very different type of person, even with working out, right? When someone's doing pull-ups, they'll do pull-ups until it's about to start hurting and then they stop because they don't want to deal the pain. But the only time you actually see true growth in the muscle is when you work through the pain. And then finally, once you work through the pain, like that's when it's like breakthrough. And then it's like, oh, the pain is here. And once that pain gets there, the endorphins come and you start to feel better. And then boom, you have a breakthrough. It's the same thing with childbirth.
Damn, I wish I could employ that to working out because the bitch don't like to work out, y'all.
See, she's
talk about getting the body back in order.
But when it comes to pull-ups, Kay's like, nah, I ain't trying to feel none of this pain. But I mean, it is a great way to think about it even with childbirth.
Yeah.
You know, when you feel that dull, ringing pain, that means you're going to constantly feel this dull, ringing pain. And
for
the end is nowhere near.
Exactly.
But once that pain comes, you're like, oh, it's coming now. It's about to be over. And then.
Yep. So when that time hits and it's like that 6 to 10 window where, you know, it's going to, the contractions are going to come sooner and faster. They're going to be more intense. It's like, okay, that's when things are going to happen for you.
And that's when she needs her partner the most. That's when.
Yeah.
Sakari was helpful because you were on the medicine ball, mm-hmm. and you was bent over the medicine ball, and she was pushing your hips forward, which helped.
Yes.
And then your mom was in front of you talking to you, mm-hmm. and then she came.
Grandma
and
was in the corner praying.
Right. We came and we were dancing with each other, and what
rocking
that does
the hips.
Is. Yeah, rocking the hips and all that movement mm-hmm. just helps the baby get into position. So she's really going to need your village. You're going to need your partner because I kept constantly hugging Kadeen and kissing Kadeen. And people were making jokes in the video. Was just like, DeVal would have been annoying the shit at me with all the kisses around the neck. But what I was trying to do was to get her mind off of where the pain was.
Right.
So it's something else we studied in football. They do this thing called STEM, which sends like electrodes like other places in your body, and it takes the pain away, because if your body's feeling tingling other places, it's not focusing on the place where the majority of the pain is. So I kind of employed the same type of mentality when it came to labor. So
you've been thinking deep into this stuff. Here I
told y'all it's like football. That was my sound bite. Preparing for labor is like preparing for football.
I love it. So yeah, the last part of active labor is going to be pushing. Typically that's mm-hmm. when everything transitions, and this is the very intense, the more painful part of it. And stage two, it's time. You're pushing, you're pushing, pushing, and the baby finally comes out. You'll deliver your baby during the second stage of labor. It could take a few minutes or it could take a couple hours, depending on your baby's position, how you're pushing, if you're tired or not. I know that weighs a lot into it. You know, some first time moms or women who've had an epidural or, you know, just don't know how to push. If there's a particular way to push, mm-hmm. and the best way to describe it is like you're taking like the biggest shit of your life, mm-hmm. like you're pushing through your butt. If that almost makes sense, mm-hmm. does it make sense?
No, it makes sense
as a guy.
I mean,
because you can just kind of push on the surface, or you can push like deep.
But I mean,
that's the kind of push you need to push.
You did preparation before that though. Like the entire pregnancy, we do this thing called TVAs, which is transverse abdominals, right? Mm-hmm. Where she squeezes her stomach, right? Mm-hmm. And the more strength you have in your stomach, in those stomach muscles, in your lower back, allows you to push and get all of that impetus that you need to get the baby out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So the birthing process doesn't just start the day you have the baby. Like, health is very, very important. Fitness is very, very important.
Yeah, the preparation.
Fitness helps with labor.
Before anything.
The more you stretch, the stronger your core is, the easier the labor will be, because you'll be able to get the baby where you need to get it and push it out.
It's more about effective pushing, if you will. Yeah. So, little baby's head is out, body is out, you deliver the baby. There's still more.
Mm-hmm.
There's still more. The placenta, which is stage three. And delivering the placenta is not as intense, I don't think. You'll feel cramping again.
No.
And that comes out after the baby, sometimes as short as like 10, 15 minutes. I think for me, it was like 30 minutes after Kaz.
Yeah.
We stayed in the water for a little bit. The kids came in. They got to meet their brother.
Said what's up.
He latched on and was breastfeeding immediately. And then the placenta comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can feel like, okay, my body has completely been rid of all things baby for the most part.
And,
until your milk comes in, and then that's a whole nother story.
The best part about doing the home birth was we were able to do delayed cord clamping, which I know some hospitals don't do. Some hospitals is the minute you have the baby, they cut the cord immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what the practice is in birthing centers, but mm-hmm. we were able to do a delayed cord clamping, which means all of the nutrients from the placenta are allowed to get to the baby, which we feel helped a lot with Kaz being able to be so alert
when
he first came out. And then you watch the placenta go from like this bloody pouch, and like the cord will be, it looks like a huge vein, and then it's just empty. It's all white and dry.
We literally transferred, it was myself, Kaz, and the placenta, everything still attached to him, to mm-hmm. the bed. And that was a night's part about being at home. I went literally from the pool to my bed, and we slept for like 3 hours, I want to say, he and I.
Yeah.
And that really allowed the cord time to just completely deplete into his body. And remember, his skin was like super rosy, and he was alert. He was looking around. It was just, to me, I think it made a big difference in just the way he was reacting.
There were no bright lights. It wasn't a cold, sterile room.
Yeah.
With Cairo, they end up having to take him a couple times.
Right.
And put him under lamp.
A heater or a lamp.
His temperature
or
was dropping.
Yeah.
He was getting pissed. Like, how about you turn down the fucking AC? It was like 65 degrees in the room.
It was cold
in there.
She's
like, you keep taking my baby to put him under a lamp.
Me and let me put him on me. So then we just did skin to skin after a while. I'm like, if anything, my body temperature will help his temperature rise. It was like one of those
but
things.
Being at home, you know, Kay's from the island, so the apartment was on Africa, and I was sweating, but hey, Kate was comfortable. The baby was comfortable. So it is what
that
it is.
True.
You know?
Our thermostat does stay anywhere between Kingston, Jamaica and Richland Park, St. Vincent. How about that? So yeah, that's pretty much the succession of it with the birth plan and how you should really think about the different stages of labor that you want to plan for. And again, making those, you know, if something goes wrong, or, you know,
gentlemen,
situation, you want that in your birth plan too.
Lady will not be in the right mind to think of anything. So you have to think of everything. You have to have everything like at your fingertips. You should know where everything is. You should know where everything is supposed to go, because that's really all you can do in this moment, other than like keep her distracted by helping her physically through the movements and stuff like that. You just got to know where everything is and know that if something happens, exactly what you need to do. For example, my biggest thing was knowing where the closest hospital was and how long it'll get there, especially during that time of day. Mm-hmm. So if you have Waze, what you do now is know where the hospital is. You put Waze in your phone and say, is there high traffic? Is there not high traffic during this time? See what the traffic will be over the next 3 to 4 hours, because you never know when the baby is coming. And just be prepared for whatever happens. If you have multiple kids, make sure you have things for the kids to do, because the kids are always going to want to get to Kadeem. I think with Kaz, Kyra was asleep, but Jackson was up. Mm-hmm. And Jackson kept coming in the room, and at times he wanted to hug Kay and stuff like that, which is cool because it allowed Kay to relax. Mm-hmm. But the best part is having a plan for everybody. Mm-hmm. And knowing that before anybody says anything to the mom, it got to go through you. You got to be the biggest advocate and let them know, like, hey, any issues y'all got, just bring it to me. And that's part of the birthing plan. You know?
I love that. That's so true. So true. The support is like everything. So real quick, a couple advantages for water births. Just wanted to run down the list of things that I think has helped me. The reasons why I'm such an advocate for it and want to do it this time around. The warm water, it really helps to relax, to soothe and comfort. Yes. The support of the water means that you can try different positions freely. So it kind of takes that weight off of your body when you're in the water. Of course, the buoyancy.
Yeah.
Yep. That definitely helps. Gravity also helps to move down the baby into the birth canal. It can lower your blood pressure and reduce feelings of anxiety, making your body more able to accept and release those endorphins and relax, which can tend to ease the pain. It can improve back pain that you feel, the pressure from dilation. I remember holding on to the sides of the pool and kind of rocking my hips from side to side.
Like you're on a whitewater
rafting.
Like
I was whitewater rafting. Yep.
And it helped,
much.
Though.
But it helped. It really did help. So even discussing this birthing plan with Takiya, she kind of took a tour of the house. She looked at our bathtub in our room now and said, hey, you can probably have the baby in here. We'll just sanitize it and you can have him here. But then I was like, girl, the way I was rocking my hips, I was like, I'm going to need a little more space. So we have the pool coming so that we can make use of that too. The water can help your perineum stretch, which is that part right underneath the vagina, between the vagina and the anus. Sometimes you have
to
cut it.
It's lubricated. It's like a sponge. And I try to tell this with people all the time. A muscle or any piece of skin is like a sponge. If it's dry and you twist it, it's going to rip.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take a sponge and you put it in water and it gets more flexible, it's filled with water, when you twist it,
way
it can
more
move
malleable.
And it's malleable. So remember that about the body. A woman's body in water is way more malleable. So
there you go. Some disadvantages, because of course there are disadvantages to it. You won't be able to have any pain relief options. So once you're home and it starts, it's a wrap, sis.
That's it. So
you can't ask your midwife to pull out the epidural, because there is none. So it's kind of like that point of no return that you feel, which is why I was kind of nervous every time my water broke. I was like, oh, this is gonna be it. You're unable to use a TENS machine. Your contractions may slow down or get weaker if you get into the pool too soon. So I remember Takiya kind of watching me, and she knew exactly when I had to go in the pool. She's like, she went from moaning to grunting. So that grunt normally means that it's close.
And we did a Soul Train line all the way to the
back.
We
sure did. We walked. We were all, it was a conga line.
Conga line
to the back of the pool. Yep. If the water is too cool, the baby's at risk for hypothermia, so the water has to be the right temperature. And then you might need to leave the pool if there is a complication. Some women will start in the pool and they'll end up squatting on, you know, the toilet or standing. You know, really at that point, it's just like whatever's comfortable has to take precedence. So yeah, there y'all go. That's the reason why. I feel like I want to talk about preparing for a home birth, but we may be able to do that in another episode too. just because there's so much more that goes into
talking about
preparing for the actual home birth. So maybe we'll bring it back on another episode in the future, y'all, where we talk about like breaking down the whole home birthing process.
Yeah.
Or maybe even like getting Takiya in on it so she can, you know, help us prepare for this next time around, which is going to be very, very, very soon. Very soon.
So we're going to take a quick break, pay some of these bills, and when we come back, be ready for listener letters.
All right. Stay tuned, y'all.
During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs, classic clogs, and sandals have both covered.
When I'm talking about style, I mean personal style. There are just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms that you can add to the Crocs to make them unique. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood, to match your personality, to fit the occasion, and you can change them up day to day.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can because it's your personal style. And now, let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than Crocs, clogs, and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here, they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushions.
That's right. So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs classic clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you.
You may be aware that most people who are Black have O blood type. O is commonly needed for emergencies and life-saving measures. But did you know 1 in 3 of us is a match for patients with sickle cell disease? You, along with the American Red Cross, regardless of your blood type, can help by donating blood. Every day, our blood saves lives and eases the pain for those living with sickle cell. When you donate blood, there is a direct positive impact within our community. Right now, there is great need for blood donations in the African American community. Every donation counts and makes a difference in someone's life. Donate blood at Red Cross to help save a life. Black excellence is in our blood. Visit redcrossblood.org/ourblood to make an appointment now.
Okay, real talk. When did paying someone back become social media?
What do you mean?
Let's say I'm trying to lurk on you. You know, see what you're doing and who you're doing it with. I can stalk your pay app and find out what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of weird. You do that?
Not anymore. I use Apple Cash. It's built into your iPhone, easy and secure. You can send and receive money right in messages, so no public feeds. And the money is immediately available to use with Apple Pay.
Babe, did you just send me a dollar on Apple Cash?
I just said our cash isn't content. Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so. And get this. Nair, yes, Nair, the OG that I used for years, has now leveled up. And they have these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. My personal favorite, coconut oil and vitamin E because it's gentle on my skin. And down to the body cream, rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, which is a modern take on indulgent and classic femininity. Okay? It works in as little as 3 minutes, no nicks, no cuts, and the smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all those nasty chemicals, so you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin. Have a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
All right, now we're back for Listener Letters, which DeVal has finally admitted is actually his favorite portion of the show.
As well.
Uh-huh.
As well.
So let's just dive right into the first one. I've been married to my husband for 5 years, and we have 4 beautiful kids. We have been through everything, and I mean the good, the bad, and the ugly. Despite it all, we've decided to hold on and keep our marriage going. My question is, as a married couple that's been through a lot like yourselves, how do you deal with the backlash? I find myself sharing our story to try to motivate young couples or new couples, and it sometimes backfires to where I'm judged. They assume I'm stupid. They say things like, couldn't be me. I've heard that before. And, you know, just very aggressive and very negative.
I think people, I don't think that people can see that there's a beauty in the struggle and the power in forgiveness. I also feel like people are so quick to give up, and especially in this new day and age, it promotes all the self-love and self-care. And I don't think couples understand that it's not just about self, it's about both of you guys. It's you and your spouse.
Well, the first thing is that, you know, you're always going to get backlash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always use this.
Fuck them, girl.
I always use this analogy, but Jesus got backlash. Like, right. Jesus only preached love. Right. Jesus got backlash. Like, if Jesus gets backlash, then who are you to not expect backlash from people?
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, like my wife said, fuck them.
Like, we don't care.
If the message ain't for you, the message ain't for you. And especially those people who say, couldn't be me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the point. That's why you're single.
Right.
Because you couldn't see yourself in a relationship.
And
that's
okay.
Fine.
You know what I'm saying? That's always my thing. I'm like, that's fine. Cool. Like, you don't have to judge the situation. Just say, you know what? It's not for me. And that's perfectly fine. I think the strength that Deval and I found in it too, because it's kind of like, I didn't believe that this would be my ministry, quote unquote, mm-hmm. in the very beginning. Like, neither one of us sought out to be like this pillar of like, hey guys, this is what our relationship looks like. And, you know, this is how we make it work. Of course, our heart's in the right place because we want to be able right. to share through our experiences and just be able to be open and be candid. Because why? Generations before us never were.
Right.
And we find ourselves right. stuck in the same cycles right. over and over again.
Absolutely.
Why were your grandparents unhappy? Why are your parents unhappy in right. their relationships? Why would we want to subject ourselves to that?
Right.
So why not speak about these situations right. so we can say, you know what? This is not an anomaly, what's happening between the two of us. This is something that happens quite frequently in relationships.
Right.
And this is something that we should have a discussion about, because maybe there's a way that we can now maneuver or pivot, as we say now, to make this a little bit better of a situation. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So I just kind of take on that mentality. Like, Deval's actually kind of helped me with that over the years, because I used to be the one that would take things on and be like, oh my God, people are going to think this and that. And now we're at the phase where we're just like, take it or leave it. Like, if it's not for you, it's not for you.
And also, I think people need to understand that it really is a sickness for you to wake up in the morning and be concerned about what other people think about you, especially people who don't really know you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to think about how sick that is.
Yeah.
You wake up in the yeah. morning and you have things that you need to do in order to become a better person. But your mm-hmm. first thought process is,
what are people going to think? Yeah.
That's real bad.
It's so restricting yeah. and it's just stifling, and it really makes you wonder, you're doing all of that for what? Like, my thing is, when people say couldn't be me, my thing is, well, do you pay my bills? Like, are you contributing in any way to my life?
Right.
You know, social media is in a phase, we're in a phase now where everybody has an opinion, everybody with fingers right. can type, like, whatever, you know, voice noted, whatever.
And the thing is, couldn't be me is not always a bad thing. No, it couldn't be you. That's why it's me.
Right.
There's only one of me. You're right. You could never be me. So right. when someone says couldn't be me, okay, I get mm-hmm. that. Like that, like people, like sometimes we tend to put out content or put out information as people.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get upset when people don't receive the information we put out the way we want them to receive it. It is also not your job as a content creator
mm-hmm.
to tell people how to take in the content you put out.
Right.
You know, they are entitled to disagree. They are entitled to not like it. They mm-hmm. are entitled to create their own idea of what it is you're trying to say mm-hmm. once you put it out there. That's part of creating content. You just have to put it out there with hopes that someone receives the message the way you want them to receive it. But if they don't,
right.
that's a them problem.
Absolutely.
That's not a you problem. And the more you continue to make it a you problem, you're going to start to feel inadequate.
Right. Or you're going to start to filter what you right. put out. And then at that point, it's not organic to you. It's not authentic.
It's not authentic, right.
And then you're just conjuring up something just to suit another person.
Right.
When there's like millions of people who are going to have opinions. So
listen, people are going to be upset regardless of what you say. That's just what it is.
This
is my ultimate microcosm of life. Jesus had haters. Jesus preached love and healing and they killed him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't matter what you say,
mm-hmm.
someone's going to have a problem with it. So
say what you want to say.
Say what
anyway.
You say. Say, speak your truth.
That's it.
And just know that someone will learn from it.
Right.
Someone will definitely learn from it.
Even if it's a little tidbit.
It. Yes.
There you go. All right,
number two. Hey guys, my name is Ren. I'm a 25-year-old mother of 3 young babies. My ex and I were together for almost 5 years and had our kids back to back. We broke up in November of 2020, just days before I found out about baby number 3. Since we've broken up, he's not been a father to our kids at all and only ever sends a text message on birthdays and holidays. He hasn't even met our 2-month-old son.
Wow.
He was never this way when we were together. He was such a great dad that I never expected him to do the kids this way, even as our relationship was headed downhill. I've gone through an entire pregnancy caring for our kids alone while working from home, and y'all have truly kept me sane, and you've given me so many reasons to laugh and reflect. You've helped me to take accountability for things that I could have handled better mm-hmm. throughout my relationship. Not to say that he's absolved from being a jerk to his kids, and have given me some amazing advice to take into my future in all aspects of life, not just romantically. So thank you. You're welcome, Mama. During my time alone, I spent time visualizing and praying for the man that I want, and that is for me while continuing to work on myself and for my children. Out of nowhere, this guy drops into my Facebook messages, and we hit it off immediately. We talk every day. We're authentically and comfortably ourselves when we're together. Our goals and dreams in and out of a romantic light seem to align very well, and he can damn near read my mind sometimes. Neither of us want to rush, and we've agreed to keep sex off the table for now until we're sure of what we want with each other. I didn't expect God to work so quickly. If I put him in a box and tell him to just hold off for a year or two, as Deval said once, I totally would, but I also don't want to lose out on a partner that I have a chance to grow with. We've admitted to each other that we feel there could be something special with us, but should I wait? It hasn't been a full year since my breakup. What should I do? I don't remember telling anybody to wait a year.
Well, not a year, but remember you had said if you could put me in a box and have me like.
Oh, if I could put you in a box?
Yeah. You remember you wanted to put me in the glass case? Right. So I think that might be what she's referring to, is like, can I just put you over there on reserve until I'm ready for you, and then.
Well, this is the thing.
Call you over.
Since she kind of referenced me, I don't think there is a timeline for you to work out, or there is no cookie cutter time that says if I do this in this amount of time, it's going
to
work out.
Or I need this amount of time after my breakup to then be able to date again. I think you should take it on a case by case basis.
Absolutely.
And I mean, if the spirit is moving you, child, hey, why
But I do think it's important for you to really know someone before you bring them around your kids, because we've seen a lot more recently, especially because there's social media and 24-hour news cycles of people coming into relationships and hurting children that aren't theirs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, so, when she says sex is off the table, I would hope that her children are off the table too in terms of like what they're introducing.
Right.
And they probably both agree to kind of take this slowly.
Right.
So, I mean, if you're a year out from your relationship or your previous relationship, I think you can take baby steps towards, you know.
Absolutely.
Starting to
And that's one thing I would definitely do, like you said, take time with the kids, mm-hmm. because I think it's important for them to get to know each other first before she even introduces them to the children.
For sure.
And I know sometimes people be like, well, you got kids, you gotta let them know you got kids right away. I'm like, nah, no, I need to know who this person is. This mm-hmm. person needs to know me before I even involve them with my children.
Absolutely. I mean, I haven't been in the dating scene for a minute.
No, you haven't. Neither
have I. I've just like never really been in the dating scene like that, but I would imagine that it does not have to necessarily be something that you put on overdrive and just mm-hmm. you know, fall into he's living with you now and then you guys are like back into that kind of relationship. I'd say take some time to, you know, woo each other, you know.
And here's the truth,
get to know each other,
because you guys haven't heard Kadeen and I's full love story, which we actually are in the process of getting together right now for something very special for
very
you guys.
Very special.
But
2022.
Love stories exist when two people want to be together.
Yes.
So there's nothing you can do to make sure everything goes right. If he wants to be there, he will find a way to be there, whether it's wait or not wait. Like mm-hmm. when Kadeen and I first got together, there were certain things for me that I was just like, man, I'm not doing this because I don't want to be a boyfriend to anybody. But I wanted to be with Kadeen, and she said she required these things, so I made it happen. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And vice versa. That's just what relationships are. You say what you require. You give grace to allow the person to make a decision of whether they want to do it. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, if you want to be together, you guys will find each other.
And it's the effortlessness for me.
Yeah.
Some things just kind of naturally flow. And you say he kind of just fell into your Facebook messages just like that. I have a friend who was just like, man, I've been praying for this particular kind of guy, and here he is, and he's that in abundance, and I didn't even know if I was ready for to receive that, but thank you God, at least he's here, you know.
So the answer is, what should you do? You should be deliberate about what you want and what you need. Yes. But don't put yourself on a timeline and say if things don't happen by this time, that's just not going to work.
So and communicate.
Be deliberate and communicate.
There you go. Good luck to you, babe. And if y'all want to be featured as one of our listener letters, be sure to email us at deadassadvice@gmail.com.
That's right. That's DEADASSADVICE@gmail.com. My moment of truth for the birthing process as DeVal, the daddy doula that brings the vibes. That's mad D's.
That's a whole
I bring the D.
Situation. You do.
As you can tell.
Indeed.
But,
and I'm growing a D.
You
That's
are.
Still amazing to me, guys. I've grown four penises. I say it all the time.
You it's always amazing. Say that all the time.
Amazing.
Actually, you've grown five penises because you make mine grow.
But, oh, my God. Cut.
The birthing process doesn't start the day the child is starting to come into the world. The birthing process for me started when we first started to prepare to even become pregnant.
That's a good one.
Like, I wanted to make sure that I was involved in every single aspect of the pregnancy, pre-pregnancy. With this fourth baby, I was involved in everything. You know, we every visit that you had that I could go to, before, you know, they put the clamps back on everything because of the pandemic, I was present.
That is very true. Because you think the fourth time around, it's like, oh, you've seen this sonogram already. You've seen that. But no, we really just get excited every single time. Mm-hmm. Like, I just recently did an Instagram story that I was just so excited every time I go in to see this baby, even though it's my fourth son. It's like still exciting. But I want to take this time to appreciate you, sir, for making this experience probably one of the best experiences when it came to just planning pregnancy, putting me in a comfortable situation where I literally did not have to do much but take care of myself and this baby to the best of your ability and then some. And just always being so invested. Like, DeVal will come to me sometimes, y'all, and be like, yo, I watched this documentary about like childbirth, or I was watching reading this article about like women's bodies after labor and just how to get through something. And I'm just like, what made you go and research this? And
well, he's I like, almost lost on you my once. Mind. I almost lost you once. Like,
it's true.
You and me and your mom and my mom was in that room when they had to wheel you out of there and take you into emergency surgery. That's not a feeling you want to have again if you can do everything within your power to make sure everything is good.
Yeah.
And after having our first three children, being in an apartment, having to deal with parking, having to deal with the elevator, having to deal with so many other obstacles that make it difficult, you know, having to go to the gym and still working so many hours, being able to do it this way, I'm proud of me, but I'm proud of us. We did this together. You know what I'm saying? I had a plan, like a birthing plan, years ago when I said, when you are ready to have this fourth child, I want it to be like this.
Yes.
And we put this birthing plan in place. And it's not even just us, it's our full village. Like, your mom is here. Your mom has been here since we moved to LA.
And then here in Georgia, she's helped me unpack this house.
Think about it.
Get the kids ready for school on mornings where I feel like, oh God, girl, I can't get up because I've been up all night.
Think about that though. Like, you full pregnant. Last night you didn't want to have to really get up this morning and do much, but your mom is there to make sure that the kids get out off in time. You know what I'm saying? Your dad is living here now. Your sister is gonna come for the birth. Like, we created a plan and we executed. That's what you call manifestation.
Absolutely.
And I'm here to say this to anybody who's listening: don't ever let people tell you you can't do something when you know that you can.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds like the most cliche thing ever in the world to say, but you can do whatever you want to do if you have the mental fortitude to see it through and to, like, we heard in our listen to letters, don't listen to the backlash and listen to what other people are saying. They can't see your vision. So they can't, you have to expect people to not understand you. But if you got the vision and the mental fortitude, just keep going and you can get to where you want to get to in life. This is a perfect example. So
perfect example. So thank you.
Thank you.
I love you for this. And it's going to be an amazing, amazing experience. And I
am
actually looking very forward to it until my water breaks. And then I'm going to be like, baby, I think
it's time. Baby, I think it's time.
Oh my goodness. All right, y'all. So thank y'all so much for tuning in. As always, we appreciate y'all just as much too. Be sure to find us on social media at Deadass the Podcast on Instagram. And of course, you can find me, Kadeen I Am.
And I am DeVal. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Deadass. My ass about to be in that water, y'all.
By yourself. Deadass is a production of iHeartMedia Podcast Network and is produced by Denora Pena and Tribble. Follow the podcast on social media at Deadass the Podcast and never miss a thing.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule.
It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
You know that I feel like it's important to express yourself. You got to put your true self out there. And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do that.
That's right. Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know it doesn't get any more comfortable than the Croc clogs and sandals. They are just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit Crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
You may have heard that most people who are Black have O blood type. O is commonly needed for emergencies, but did you know 1 in 3 of us is a match for patients with sickle cell disease? Regardless of blood type, every day our blood saves lives and eases the pain of those living with sickle cell. Donate blood at Red Cross to help us save a life. Black excellence is in our blood. Visit redcrossblood.org/ourblood to make an appointment now.
It's time to celebrate Black History Month at the Walmart Black and Unlimited Clock. One at Flatiron Plaza in New York City and one at Ovation Hollywood in Los Angeles from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. With giveaways dropping every hour on the hour, it's a perfect time to try, like, and share Black-led products. It's free for everyone, and it's your chance to see how you can level up your daily routine with Black-led products that are creating a new world of choices at Walmart. Trust, you don't want to miss it.